really need Lancers and energy again.
Pretty good representative. Yeah, oh, thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Good afternoon. Let's open the House Land Use Committee for Thursday, February 5th. And we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2375. Ms. Ross, can you give us a brief summary of the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. The measure discontinues within 1 year of taking effect an exception created in 2003 allowing a longstanding fireworks business to use lands zoned exclusively for farm use.
Okay, thanks. I have a few people who would like to testify on this bill. So I'd like to call forward Sean Cleve. We have only four people currently signed up to testify, so I'll be a little more lenient with our normal time limits, but
I can
don't
keep
have
it
to
three
exceed
minutes.
Them, Mr. Cleve.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sean Cleve. I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, and I'm here today to support the House measure. The Oregon Farm Bureau has a longstanding policy protecting Oregon's EFU land. We feel that the exclusive farm use zone becomes less and less exclusive the more allowances you place into the statute, whether those be permitted or conditional use. Realizing that there are some very reasonable reasons to have specific uses described in statute, this is one of them that the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation would consider not quite as rational as others. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and allow any questions.
Any questions of this witness? Obviously covered everything you needed to. Thank you, Mr. Cleve.
Easy enough. I would add that the Farm Bureau has been working with a member of your committee, Rep. Clem, on an audit, so to speak, during the interim of the conditional and permitted use statute. It's a comprehensive look, and we would definitely be more than happy to speak with the chair and members of the committee regarding that piece of legislation as well.
Thanks. I appreciate
Chair,
that.
If I might disagree.
Yes.
As I understand the notion of having exceptions in exclusive farm use are for other kind of agricultural things that go naturally to farming. Is that, I mean, do you have a position on what sort of things?
Well, there's
definitely. Excuse me before you do that. Can I just remind members who are using laptops, when you block your own microphone,
it doesn't
pick up your
small issue.
Your comments.
Madam Chair.
Good point.
Actually, Representative Green, could you keep that up and over
here? Oh, you've already brought
arrow,
one, Representative Wingert. Glad to see it.
You can borrow mine.
He's there to pick on me.
Chair Nolan, Rep. Greenlick, you're correct. I think originally, as the statute developed, it anticipated that there would be some activities that would have to occur that would complement farming. And as it progressed over the last 30-plus years, more and more items have been added to that statute that would actually raise the level of conflict in the EFU zone. And that's the big reason why the Farm Bureau is very interested in limiting those conflicting uses. Now, there are a variety of activities that occur that are currently conditional uses or what I would call activities rather than a use, like a wedding or things to that nature, more kind of ecotourism type events that are somewhat non-regular. But that is an issue that the Farm Bureau has trouble with as well, because these are things that cause conflict. But to pull out another example of what's in that statute, there's actually a permitted use for model airplanes in our statute. So kind of some items that you just wouldn't expect to be in there, and that was the focus of the work group. So
if I may follow briefly on
this,
a very brief comment. This became relevant in my district with a use application for a place where you grow nursery stock than to allow nurserymen to have their staging facilities as to get that stock out and into market. I seem to be that's the sort of thing I think that was intended for that.
Yeah, and I believe Rep. Nolan, Representative Greenlich, that you're specifically referring to the farm stand provision, which is a very complementary portion of that permitted and conditional use statute.
Actually, I wasn't, but that's a good example.
Thanks. Anything else? Thank you very much.
I'll be around for questions if you need me.
Okay, thank you. And if my colleagues would forgive my bad manners by not inviting Senator Schrader and Representative Kenemer to speak first, since you have other legislative business to attend to. Would you like to come up individually or together? Either way that works for you.
Thank you, Chair Nolan and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here today. I would like to say that I think it's an excellent idea to move forward and look at some of these uses and take a look at them and really check to see what is appropriate EFU use. So I would like to start out by saying that I do support these activities on the committee. I am here largely today because I do have a constituent, Mr. Gobay, who does own Western Fireworks. And as you move through this process, I would just ask that in this particular instance, since you already do have a small business that is employing people, that is creating jobs, even though it is not something that overall we would perceive to be a farm use, that hopefully you might consider some sidebars in this case, since it is already an extant working business. And as I looked at the legislation, I think requiring them to close down completely might actually cause a hardship. So I will leave it up to the committee and your wisdom to see if there's even some potential for sidebars in this case. And as I said, I'm really here on behalf of a constituent who asked me to step forward and actually put in a good word for a business that is employing people during these hard economic times. So with that, that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know if you have any questions for me or,
Other than it's wonderful address to address Senator Schrader.
Oh, thank you.
Wearing a skirt.
I know.
Kurt didn't do that very often.
Not too often.
Thank you, Representative Nolan, because I did attempt to let the chair know that I was just going to step forward and say a few words. But again, please, as we move forward, understand that this is a small business, our constituent, and as you move forward, cleaning up and looking at these issues, perhaps this might be one where you can put some sidebars on and dare I use the word grandfather in some way. So with that, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Okay. You bet. Thank you, Senator.
Okay.
Questions before she goes back and
I go back to my
save the
rest
world
of the universe?
Good, Thank you, Senator,
right,
for being here.
You.
Good to see you.
And it's good to see you again.
Thank you.
Representative Kenemer.
Okay. Representative Kenemer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I am Bill Kenemer, State Representative. And I thank you for a few moments. I'll try to make this brief. I'm here on behalf of Western Fireworks. Just a little bit of history, I guess. Western Fireworks is a 60-year-old business that moved out into the farmland in this area in 1985 and has been there since. And Senator Kurt Schrader in 2003 introduced a bill, and with the support of both the Farm Bureau and 1,000 Friends and the Canby Fire District, proceeded with a process to allow a non-conforming use to be granted. And I was a county commissioner at the time, and they fulfilled that process. If you drive through the kind of bucolic countryside out there, you see rolling hills and mostly grass, because few trees and grass because it's low-value farmland, and a little bit of hay off of Timothy grass is about the best it will do. You'll never know this facility is there because it sits back off of the road in a few trees, a away from neighbors, and neighbors have not objected either. My view is that it is a pre-existing use, and I think went through the process without controversy in 03 to help make that a legal use, and I would encourage you to keep it that way. Western Fireworks has 8 full-time employees and about 1,000 part-time employees during a brief period in the summer, a payroll of about $600,000. And I'm not here to argue policy about whether those are good locations or not, although I would say one of the problems is there aren't very many industrial sites that like aerial fireworks as one of their neighbors. So it's a difficult question about where they belong, but this one has been there and been a good neighbor for a long time. And with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Questions for the good representative? Thank you for being here.
Thank you all for your time.
Okay, next person signed up is Greg Chamoff. Now, do you have all three of you want to come up, Mr. Chamoff? I now noticed that there are three names here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then fine. Let's bring Greg Chamoff, Bob Gobay, and Paul Thaloffer.
Madam Chair, members, good afternoon. Greg Chamoff from the law firm of Davis Wright Tremaine in Portland, representing Western Fireworks Display, Inc. It's a pleasure to be back in front of those of you that a few years ago I had the honor of serving, and in the case of now Representative Wingard, the honor of serving with. Pleasure to meet those of you that I've not yet had a chance to appear in front of. With me today is Mr. Thaloffer, who is the corporate counsel for Western Fireworks Display, and Mr. Gobay, whose family has owned the business since Representative Greenlake was a pup.
Okay.
A point I would like to make about Mr. Gobay. As you can see from his kindly countenance, he is not Wayne Scott. You will find in your brochure the corporate records from Mr. Scott's fireworks business, which unfortunately has a name very similar to that of Mr. Gobay's. You will also find Mr. Gobay's corporate records showing his ownership of his company, and I've also included behind a tab an apology from the Eugene Register Guard when they last reported that Mr. Scott had anything to do with Mr. Gobay's business. One of the questions that has been raised so far today is, why have this use in farmland? The main reason is the federal government doesn't want a business like this in an industrial or a commercial area because it's at least possible it could blow up. These businesses are supposed to be in remote areas, and as Representative Klim can tell you, there are times when a farmer needs to use explosives. The quantity that Western Fireworks has exceeds that a farmer would normally use. The use of the fireworks on this facility is not, however, any kind of active manufacturing facility. These are essentially extremely safe, federally approved, fire marshal sanctioned bunkers back in as far away from anyone else as they can be made, and of Mr. Gobay's property, virtually all of it is in fact in farmland and forest land. The exception that's before you, and I understand the interest in culling out what might be perceived as special or unusual provisions in the land use code, and I agree there are quite a few. I was the one I remember being involved in a few years back in which you gave permission to an Air Force Reserve Center to locate in EFU land, provided it was within 500 feet of a community college. That one always caused us some confusion until Senator Sorensen explained that he wanted it next to Lane Community College. This exception is extremely narrow because you collectively asked for this exception to be that narrow. When Mr. Gobay came with Senator Schrader, now Congressman Schrader, to the legislature in 2003 seeking to obtain for Clackamas County approval to site this business, which had been operating with Clackamas County's blessing, albeit illegally, for many years, you asked us to meet with the Farm Bureau and with 1,000 friends and to come back with a concept that everybody could support, or at least not oppose. And so that's why it came back to you so narrow. Representative Nolan has said she might like to hear suggestions for how to improve the bill. We have two. One is remove Section 1. That would leave the part of the bill that deletes this provision from the conditional use statute. Western Fireworks Display would then become a non-conforming use, and as a non-conforming use, would not be able to expand its business, but it could stay where it is. But if you take out the provision that tells Western Fireworks that it has to move, then you at least have cleaned up the statute and not put onto the street eight folks in family wage jobs with benefits and 1,000 part-time workers who, thanks to Mr. Gobay's work as a kind employer, make a very good wage for part-time employers, part-time employees. Another suggestion would be to look at Senate Bill 1051A from last session. Those of you who served in the House last time probably are not familiar with this bill because it was introduced so late in the session in the Senate. It did come over from the Senate, did not make it out of committee in the House in the waning days. That bill was the product of a work group encouraged by Senator Avakian between DLCD, Western Fireworks Display, various other interests, including special districts, the fire marshal, to try to come up with a scheme that would allow more people to store fireworks so that the exception wouldn't just be for Western Fireworks Display. So if you simply want to clean up the statutes on conditional use, taking Section 1 out of the bill would do the trick as far as Western Fireworks Display is concerned, because it could then keep running the business that it's been running for over 60 years and keep employing the people that it employs. If what your goal is to allow more people to store fireworks on their property, then our recommendation is to take a look at Senate Bill 1051A from last session and work from there. I've given you substantially longer written comments, as well as a sheet from Mr. Gobay listing the fireworks displays that his company puts on. I want to make clear that in discussing this kind of business, this is not the sparklers that you buy for your kids or grandkids. These are the major aerial fireworks shows that you see at the Rose Festival or in my town of Milwaukee, where I'm honored to serve as a city councilor, at our summer festival, where it's the highlight of our year, and Mr. Gobay is kind enough to handle that presentation himself. With that, I'd be pleased to answer any questions you have, and I'm confident that Mr. Gobay would also be pleased to field anything you'd like to lob his way.
Before we go to questions, do either Mr. Gobay or Mr. Talhofer want to make brief comments first, or should we just go to questions?
I'll defer to.
Okay, great. Questions for this panel?
Madam Chair, I just want to put on the record that when this company was formed, I was a pretty big pup. In fact, I was a junior in college. So.
Wow. I wouldn't have said that.
It's a long time ago.
So noted for the record. Any other questions?
Thank you very
much. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Bob Livingston.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Bob Livingston, representing the Oregon State Firefighters Council. And my intent of being here today is to try to give you a little bit of a sense of a firefighter's perspective regarding the placement of you know, fireworks facilities, whether it's manufacturing, storage, and those things. From a firefighter perspective, whether you do that in farm use or whether you would do that in another setting. Bottom line is, as well, I think there may be certainly some advantages to putting in a rural setting, clearly from the standpoint of potentially exposures and those kind of things. Those do come at trade-offs, and what I want to do is just kind of address some of those trade-offs that you may not have considered from a fire and life safety standpoint. The first one that I've noted is longer response times. Any time that you have longer response times to significant medical or fire-related emergencies, hazardous materials, it does cause concerns not only from a life safety standpoint, but from a fire response time. The other thing worth noting that I think is important, rural settings often have minimal or inadequate resources. You know, many of our rural settings right now, particularly in these economic times, already are struggling handling the situations they have, whether it's a multiple motor vehicle accident or a small house fire. Those types of incidents certainly strain existing resources as we see them. Another concern that we would have, inadequate water supply and lack of specialized training and equipment. Clearly, when you have an incident like this, fire suppression systems, whether it's foam, whether it's sprinkler systems, those kind of things are absolutely important, as well as for many of these things, whether it's fireworks, whether it's a chemical fire, there's specialized training that's needed to combat these types of emergencies, and certainly while I believe and represent many of our rural firefighters, because of the strains that are already placed on those types of departments, you simply a lot of times don't get the experience or the specialty training that is necessary to combat these types of situations. Another issue that I think is important to note is pre-planning and ongoing preparation for significant emergencies. Let me give you a few examples of what I mean by that. There's many types of life safety hazards. This is a good example of a life safety hazard, the Capitol Mall area and all those, from a life safety standpoint where there's a lot of people. One of the things I know on first-hand experiences is while you're not worried about necessarily an explosion from fireworks, you know, terrorism events, those types of things, significant event where you have lots of people, you want to be able to pre-plan those. And what I mean by that, you want to be able to, you know, have an outline of the building, know where your water resources are, coordinate with the facility. And I can add here in Salem that the state of Oregon does an excellent job of pre-planning and addressing, you know, evacuation plans and doing that. Similar other examples of areas specific to hazardous materials or explosive type materials, clearly in the Washington County setting, whether it's in Tualatin Valley or Hillsborough, with some of those plants where they have many chemicals that will explode exactly like fireworks. Again, they have the resources there to handle those. They have pre-planning. They work well with those companies. And that's certainly not to say that Mr. Gobe hasn't or would work with the Canby Fire District. For all I know, he certainly may be doing those kind of things. But I think those are important notes. I could provide you with additional concerns when you start placing these things in rural settings. And while I would think I would disagree a little bit from a fire perspective standpoint that really placing these potentially in industrial areas, similar to like what we've seen, whether it's Sumco, whether it's Maxim, some of these larger corporations that have technology and use lots of chemicals, or whether it's in the city of Portland or the Port of Portland, where we have lots of heavy industry that has lots of potential, it does make sense to place those in those situations. And so finally, Madam Chair, if I could, I want to make it clear to this committee that the fire service, and particularly the firefighters, we applaud Oregon businesses and appreciate those, particularly that provide good family wage jobs in these economic times. I think while I can't speak for the entire fire service, my experience has been is that the fire service always wants to work with our business community to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe and to make sure that they're continue to be employed and in those prevention issues. And so I think it's important, and I would just close with a statement that while I believe it's important to make sure that we send the message that Oregon is open for business, it's also important to place businesses in the right setting for the safety of all Oregonians and for the safety of Oregon's firefighters. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Livingston? Thanks for being here. I have two more witnesses, colleagues, Danielle Welliver.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Danielle Welliver, and I'm the Legislative Affairs Director for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Kate Kimball, our policy analyst, was going to deliver this testimony so she can answer any questions that you might have, but she became ill at the last minute, and so she sent me. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to present testimony on HB 2375, legislation that would sunset in 1 year the authority for a conditional use allowing an aerial fireworks display business to be sited in an exclusive farm use zone. 1,000 Friends of Oregon supports this legislation as a practical step toward reducing the number of uses unrelated to farming in Oregon's EFU zone. Anyone who has had to wade through the statutory list of uses allowed on EFU is struck by the dozens of uses that are unrelated to farming and the confusing jumble of provisions that has been added over the years. We urge you to vote in favor of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Last person signed up, at least, is Stephen Kafori.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Kafori. I'm here today representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association, Land Use Planners. 1973, two bills were passed, Senate Bill 100 and Senate Bill 101. Senate Bill 101 didn't get much recognition, but it really was the bill that set out the difference between farm use and urban uses. The plan was at that time to keep farming land protected for farming. And most of what people think about when they think of land use planning is how do we protect farmland, and that the reason for putting other things in the cities is because we want to protect the farmland. That's obviously a major reason, but there are other reasons. I think you just heard them just now from the fire department. The provision of services is best done when you do it together in a cohesive area, not just services such as fire and first responder type services, but also services like water and electricity, telephone. All those kind of things are much more expensive when you start spreading them out into the countryside, and that results in higher costs for everyone. As I say, that part of land use planning has not had much recognition, but the benefits and advantages to everyone of keeping development inside UGBs is important as protecting the farmland. We just did a study recently about the exceptions to the farm use zones, and there are over 50 of them. And there has not been a session since 1973 when the bill was passed where the legislature has not added onto this. And we really applaud Representative Clem going back and saying, perhaps it's time to take a look and see, we might be moving back the other way. It's a very difficult chore, Madam Chair. It's very similar to trying to eliminate tax expenditures. It's a real good idea. Let's eliminate all those tax expenditures, except as you go through them one at a time, people are going to come up and say, well, this is an exception to all the good ideas. We got a really, really unique situation, and we need to have this here. I'm not going to comment on whether the fireworks are necessary in this particular location or not, and maybe the suggestion of putting it as a conditional from a conditional use to a non-conforming use makes some sense in this particular bill. I'll leave that up to you. But I do think you're going to have some tough choices to make. We'd be happy to be involved as you go through that list and see what kind of rollback we can make.
Thanks. Any questions for Mr. Kafouri? Representative Clem.
Okay, if I had heard your testimony right, you said no sessions from X point in time until now where there wasn't some additional allowance into the EFU zone?
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Representative Clem, that's my understanding. There may have been one somewhere along the way, but can you tell me you got one?
Well, this is my follow-up. So Don Shelberg has been quoted that last session was the first one in his career when we didn't. Now, I'm not totally clear on the NASCAR track deal and your opinion on that one. Does it count, I guess, is my question, or was last session the first when we didn't allow a new use?
Madam Chair, Representative Clem, I think the NASCAR one, it counts as an exception. Nice try.
But perhaps, Representative, this is a target that we should aim for this time. Any other questions for Mr. Kafouri? Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, I will also note, and I think you all have a copy in front of you distributed just now, we have also received written testimony on this particular bill from an Aileen Kay in Turner, Oregon. So that is noted in the record. Colleagues, we had posted this for possible work session today, but it's not my intention to open a work session today. I would like to give committee members an opportunity to think about this and perhaps improve the bill with an amendment that we might consider a week from today. Mr. Chamoff has offered a couple of suggestions. I'd welcome anyone on the committee to get in touch with me or the administrator on suggestions you have. And it would be my intention then to bring this bill back for work session and movement a week from today. With that, seeing no further business on this bill, I'll close the public hearing, and we are adjourned.
Next business.